sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny!
That's my Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, it's spot on. I love it. Just
had a whole conversation about it.
You can do any mumbling British voice, but you gotta end it with a laugh.
I don't know. I was just watching Yellow Jackets. I was like, what the fuck are they eating people for? What are they eating people? Nobody needs to be eating people.
That's my Ozzy. You're welcome.
Alrighty, and welcome to the show. This week, we will review Caveat. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, go back to TV Corner. We're watching Yellow Jackets Season 2, Episode 4, titled Old Wounds.
Where I did a Neil Young impression, and Rolando thought it was an Ozzy Osbourne impression.
It was Ozzy Osbourne. I don't know why. It was good. It's a good impression.
Take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
That's my Canadian. My best Canadian.
See, I heard Neil Young now. I didn't hear Neil Young when you originally did. I hear it now. Yeah. Okay, we have a lot to talk about. We should not dawdle at all.
We shouldn't dawdle. It would be... Not a good look for us if we just dawdled so much, because I was also thinking, what if Bob Dylan saying it and was like, oh man, take a look at my life. La like you. Nobody's ever done a Bob Dylan impression, so you're welcome.
Yeah, it was good. Very good. you're setting the standard of Bob Dylan impressions today.
All right, really what do we think of this episode? I had a hard time with this episode only because I was distracted. There's a lot going on that I need to take care of.
I took notes, and by notes, I took notes from a website, and I'm just going to follow along with the website. So that's
Yellow Jackets cheat sheet for podcasters reviewing.
Yeah, I saw this on Friday, of course, right? And I was like, oh, that was a great episode. Loved it. And it kind of goes without saying now, between you and I, that we love this show.
Yeah,
So we don't necessarily need to go over it. But to say like, oh, we liked it, we did like it. I mean, sometimes there's a bad episode. I think we do have criticism. I do have criticism.
We've definitely criticized some of the weak ones.
But first, let's just jump right in and just say, let's get into like the Natalie Lottie stuff, the teenage stuff, because that kind of plays into the adult stuff. And
I would Lottie... even say, let's just jump right into the fact of my inability to read numbers correctly. And I bought a beer because I like to drink a couple beers on a Sunday, and I didn't realize how strong they were because... apparently, I don't know the difference between a 6 and an 8.
That's a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if I become more incoherent, if I sound more like Ozzy Osbourne as the episode progresses, I apologize.
Yeah. I think that the sort of the big central conflict of this show was this teenage stuff where like Lottie and because they're running out of food. And nobody knows where the food's going. And Mari Big Mouth Mari speaks up. She tries to start pointing fingers at Natalie that she's not doing her job or whatever. So
I had a thought about that character, by the way.
Mari's starting to be annoying, but go ahead.
I know. I was going to say, I wonder if like this actress was like, oh, I got cast in like a fucking TV show. Like it's like syndicated. I mean, it's going to be, you know, a big deal, blah, blah, blah. And then she gets her lines and she's like, fuck, I'm the annoying character. Well, I'm gonna give it my all. I'm gonna be the most annoying person on earth. But I'm wondering if, like, as she's going through this, she's like, "Oh my god, everybody's gonna fucking hate me. Everybody's gonna hate me more than Lottie." Because now we're starting to feel for Lottie. Because I feel for Lottie now. I feel bad.
Yeah, it seems like. Yeah, like they did a good job of like setting up that. By the end of this episode, you feel bad for her. Because she does have like a mental instability, right?
And yeah, there's
she's having to take and this having to go in the woods and whatever's in the woods supernatural thing is affecting her, and she was on medication. Adult Lottie's on medication for it, so she had to up it because of the vision she had with the bees, with the beehive, beekeeper, keep trap thing. I don't know what they're called. But yeah, so they, so we're starting to see the division now that Mari is starting to Van. I would even say, what's her name? The other girl who found the mouse this episode. Nice little detail. I forget her name. They've clearly are a unit now and they're just sort of going against, they're dividing against the other people.
Yeah.
So.
And Van's trying really hard to convince Thaisa that she is more connected to Lottie than she thinks she is. But I think Thaisa is fully aware of how awkward that is and doesn't want anything to do with
it. Yeah. So it kind of seems like, and I have a thought about that. So. A couple of thoughts. So it seems like they create this like competition or whatever. And what I liked was between Lottie, who found the birds and the bear, which they had been living off of. And the way she did it was she gives blood for blood, right? So anytime she gives blood, she gets food, which is what she did. Which she had done, I think, I forget what episode it was. She had done it before. She did it now. She cuts her hand and to this, like, tree stump, and she, like gives blood. And they were able to find what's the little boy's name? Was it Javi?
Yes.
They found Javi this episode because of Thaisa's...
I swear the only reason this is happening, which they're probably going to write into it, like explain it better and give him like a meteor roll. I swear they did that only because puberty hit that kid like a ton of bricks.
More than likely, yeah.
Because it is still the same actor. It looks like him.
Right.
But he has grown a lot.
It's interesting. They haven't even talked about Javi. So do you think he makes it out? I'm trying to think he doesn't.
I'm going to guess maybe, but it's also like, we don't know, like, does Van make it out? There's no way of telling whatsoever.
Yeah. And Akila. I forgot her name. Akila.
I thought we were going to get a reveal of Javi being a part of that cult, too.
I have a feeling he probably does have strong connections. He will have strong connections when he kind of gets... sort of, you know, we kind of follow up with him throughout the next season. But I have a thought. So here's my thought. You know how, like, there's like two spirits, right? There's like this, there's like the guy with no eyes. And then there's the guy that Jackie saw before he died. So I think there's like who I see as sort of like representation of what's in the cabin, the dead guy upstairs.
I still stand by. I think the guy that was in the cabin kind of talking to her was kind of looked like her dad. I mean, not her dad, sorry. Natalie's dad. Natalie's dad. The guy that shot himself in the face, right?
Right.
And I'm wondering if it's all going to be connected in some way.
I don't know. Yeah. I saw it as like, I didn't recognize him as his dad. So I think it's whoever was dead upstairs. Plus
that makes more sense.
The guy.
I'm also stupid. Okay. What?
Plus the Lottie is possessed, and we know that like Thaisa is possessed as well, because she has like this split personality that goes into the woods and finds all of these markers, which then smartly kind of triangulates with the map that was shown in the first episode of the season that the coach and the Natalie were kind of, you know, making. And right. She figures out that she is following a certain pattern, which of course creates the shape or figure, whatever it is, on the map. And yeah. that sort of leads them to Javi, which they find. So clearly, I think because Lottie gave blood, they got Javi back. Does that kind of make sense?
Including the moose, right?
Yeah, they lost the moose. The moose that we saw was real. It was not a fake like vision or something Natalie saw. That it was actually like a real moose that, you know, died crossing the lake or something, and then got frozen into its carcass, frozen into the lake, which they tried to pull out, but was too heavy, and of course, like fell into the bottom of the lake. So that's kind of fucked up. Again.
Also, at this point, what's his name? The coach. Ben? What am I? Thank
you. Yeah.
Oh, because maybe the Ben. Beer is not what I thought it was. Yeah, Ben. Yeah. At this point, if they do decide to kill him off, which it looks like they've been trying to do for like the past three episodes, I'm going to be annoyed, because he clearly went through a lot, and they're only giving him like a real story through backstory, right? I'm wondering if he's going to pop up in present day too.
I don't know. Yeah, they've kind of kept who's alive, who isn't alive a secret. So, yeah. My guess is he's not going to make it.
That's my guess too, but maybe he does. I don't know. Because that whole thing about him saying like, you're the future, right? There's a flashback sequence where they're having like their official breakup, and his boyfriend's leaving, mm-hmm. and Ben finds an old photo album full of like, I guess, like his current exes, and how he said like, well, you don't have like an old thing of just like, you know, past memories. Is like, no, actually I don't. That's the thing, I don't have something like this. Mm-hmm. Which makes me think that this is Ben's first boyfriend.
Could be, yeah.
And that
what could be.
He said, but they're just memories. It's not a big deal. Like, these are just memories of the past. And then he grabs him and he says, but you're the future. Which makes me hope that he's still alive. Like, he is important to what happens in present day.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I dig that. That's cool. I thought it was interesting that we should probably talk about Lottie's flash. Like, she had that vision or some shit where she saw
she's in the mall
yeah trying to eat with all the other girls, and I'm assuming that's some sort of like maybe how she lived as a, you know, before she came to being, you know, lost or whatever.
I had a thought about that.
Okay,
so you know how in that flashback they talk about like, well, do you want to go get this or whatever? And she's like, I don't have money. I don't have a credit card. And then the young Natalie flashback character is like, that's never stopped you before. So it makes me think she's the one stealing all the extra food. So because there's a moment in the middle of the episode where somebody's trying to call somebody out. Like, somebody's taking all the extra scraps. Mari. I think it's Shauna. Right? Oh, Mari.
Yeah. Mari. And Shauna's like, I don't even take stuff for me, and I'm eating for two or some shit. She says something to that effect, yeah. So, Yeah, actually, that's cool. That's a good thought.
They're going to eat the baby. Fuck, dude. I'm waiting for it to happen. It's either going to come out stillborn, then they're going to be like, let's just fucking eat it. Or like, I don't know.
Throw it on the pit. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck it. That's why they call it baby Q, baby. Just kidding.
So it finally seems that like, if I, they got Shauna's daughter finally on board. She's finally on board, and she's not an adversary to her own mother.
I appreciate that this show is about nothing but smart, good decision amongst every character. Like, nobody makes a wrong choice.
I know, right?
So it's definitely the right choice. No, I think it was a smart choice. I don't know about Shauna being like a little too fucking honest about like, oh yeah, you know, I did some stuff back then, you know, like, oh, some horrible things. I'd be like, Mom, I don't need to hear it. It's cool.
Believe me. It was a good moment because I think that Callie or whatever, the daughter, kind of has this idea that Shauna is like the sort of the one causing all the issues in the relationship. Yeah. And she kind of...
It's her, the daughter. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and she says the shit about Jeff blackmailing or some shit, and that kind of gets her on board with like her mom. So now they're all kind of like working together, even though she's having this other thing with the undercover cop or whatever. So,
oh, that's right.
That was kind of interesting. Finally, the daughter's not super annoying and adversary to her mother. So, and then all that teen stuff was really interesting. I think, you know, I had a thought. So I may have already said this, but the end of the first season, we see them give, there's like, they put some sort of giant heart in that tree stump. I think that was the future. I thought that was something they did in the moment, but I think that we haven't done that moment yet because it seems that Lottie is gonna start taking over the feeding of the everybody now by, you know, sacrificing or, you know, giving sacrifices to whatever this haunted tree situation deal. Oh, the tree stump is the cabin. Got it. I just thought of that right now. That's funny.
Yeah,
that'd totally be funny if that
sense.
Was true.
Yeah. I mean, but that does make sense.
Yeah.
But I'm also wondering, so Shauna divulges to her daughter that they did some horrible, horrible shit. So I'm waiting for when they murder another person, that they're going to straight up kill somebody.
Yeah. I kind of want them to get away from that storyline. I think it's kind of a... it's one of those storylines that sounds good in theory, right? That you can kind of play out over a season or like a season or seasons.
Yeah.
But the ramifications of it, I think, end up being, there's only one result, right? Either she goes to jail or she gets away with it.
Yeah.
Right. Or she starts killing again. And that's kind of like, it's a lot of shows have done that. And you kind of yourself.
I wouldn't mind, because you don't, this whole time, you really don't think Shauna would be the one to be that person. I think you expect Natalie was like obviously the one that you thought was going to start murdering people. You kind of feel like Misty might be a person that might kill people.
She did.
Oh yeah, that's true. Fuck. So maybe they're all fucked. Maybe they're all like, you know, serial killers. We just don't know it. Like, what if the reveal was like they've been killing people this whole time? They're just like, oh, we don't talk about it, because Shauna is real like, I don't give a fuck that I just killed this dude that I was fucking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Thaisa has her issues too, right? She's they all are kind of dark and fucked up, honestly.
Yeah.
So and Misty has that nice scene with Elijah Wood. Probably the most like comic relief moments, the most cheerful moments of this episode.
The little split string.
Little split screen.
Yeah, they're little like getting ready for bed moments where they marry each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The nice, like, needle drop of the sparks.
Yeah, yes. That's probably why I love that moment the most. I'm like, yeah, this song is fucking perfect. Where Misty puts on only like one little like golden face mask, like eye bag for one side. And then Elijah Wood puts on a whole fucking like Hannibal Lecter style.
Style, yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like maybe an homage to like American Psycho or Hannibal Lecter or something.
Like for both of them, right? So yeah, for both of them. Like, I'm waiting to find out that Elijah Wood is also, like, a fucked up guy. Like, it makes sense that he is, too.
He must be, yeah, because we found out that he's rich. He doesn't have a job, doesn't do anything.
What, like, construction workers or somebody dropped something super heavy on his head. They can't figure out how he's still alive. Which could be a lie. Maybe he kill people and stole their money, you know?
Could be, yeah. Very well could be as well. And then, of course, the big moment, the biggest, most important moment we've been waiting, what, like 8 weeks, 7 weeks? We finally meet adult Van. So.
She's fucking alive. Oh my God, mind blown. I had no fucking clue except for that she's in the thumbnails and has been credited in all the episodes so far, but she never popped up.
It is bizarre that we finally...
Who would have thought? Who would have known she was still alive?
Yeah, I think you and I have kind of just been waiting for this moment, and finally she shows up
at her video store. How anticlimactic that was, because at that point, like, when Thaisa has another episode where she comes to and her car is out of gas and she's in the middle of nowhere. And she doesn't feel compelled. I was a little confused because she keeps traveling one direction trying to get out. But when that truck driver picks her up, and which I like that whole moment where the truck driver is like, hey, I voted for you. Like, it's all good.
Yeah.
And then she picks up the pen where she, like, at which I've always wanted one of these since I was a kid. They used to sell them in downtown McAllen, where you like click the pen and the lady becomes nude. Where he's like, oh, hey, about that. And she's like, no, I'm wondering how much she want for it. Like, she's being cool about it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then as soon as she does that and she turns towards the camera, her eyes are red, or that whatever color that is when she's not, Thaisa awake.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh shit, so like she's still being led somewhere. And then I was like, she's going to Van, I guess.
I think she was looking for Van, because there's a nice little moment where she's having like all of these like almost dream-esque sequence where there's a lot of like quick cuts of her other self, or whatever, for lack of a better term, is like going through all the files, going through a bunch of shit, and one of those were all the Yellow Jackets. So clearly she's been keeping tabs. And they made a note to bring up that the investigator that we met in the first season, it seemed like she was doing that for the campaign, but she also has like notes of all of the other Yellow Jackets as well. So coincidence, she's out of town, more or less close to where Van is. So maybe she was driving to go see him.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean, that was my guess. I don't know. I think...
And of course, Van is the only one that can help her, right? That's been the thing they've alluded to the most in the
show. Or more so, Van is the only person that knows about all this. Like, if she was just honest about what was going on, she'd probably get a lot more help. But she'd probably be in the Lottie camp of like being, you know, what do you call it? Like a electric shock therapy.
She's like a true believer, you know what I mean? Like, she believes in all of this stuff, as opposed to... And it seems like the division right now is between Lottie and Natalie. Natalie's more of the more realist, more like less, believes less. In fact, I didn't mention she gets blamed for the lack of finding stuff because she's not drinking whatever the heck Lottie was giving them.
Yeah.
Tea or whatever. So,
which I think Lottie is very aware of, too. I think Lottie respects Natalie a lot. I mean, even enough to be like, yeah, please. Yeah, it's fine. Go with this girl or whatever. Even though I know you're probably going to turn her against me. But I think Natalie, after seeing what this girl's going through and helping this girl, either that or Natalie's doing what she's got to do to like figure shit out.
Yeah, probably my least interesting story was the Natalie story going with whoever that girl was, and they sidetrack to her deal. I wasn't that interested in that storyline.
Yeah, but I think it's going to play a pretty pivotal role in like her ability to access whatever information she needs to figure things out. Because I swear Lottie killed Travis.
Oh, yeah. I don't buy the... the way the events folded, the way they showed us.
Where she was like, oopsies. Yeah. Even though that's what happened to me, in case you ever hear about me, whenever I murdered, I mean, accidentally was a part of somebody dying, I was just like, oopsies. It was all good. Doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Excellent episode. Are you watching the promos for next week?
No. Trying to be surprised.
Yeah. I did see one. I did see this week's episode, so.
I don't want any more advanced surprises because, like, honestly, that was so, underwhelming when it finally happened. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, because it's been
like, this
weeks
is how you end the episode. Waiting. Yeah, like, whatever happened right before that, I thought would have been a better way to end the episode than seeing like Van be like, "Ty," obviously, fuck guys, come on.
Yeah, I know.
Of course,
it's
you
more
run
of
a video rental store. Like,
I think it's one of those moments you can say like it's more of a cathartic moment for Ty, for her character, not necessarily for us, right? Because for the audience watching, there's probably some people who are surprised, like, "Oh my God, Van's back! Whoa." And there's probably other people who were probably already ahead of where the story was going as well. So we'll see. More Misty. More. I need Misty. I need them all together again.
More Misty and more Elijah Wood going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only been snippets. They don't feel quite yet a part of the... what's going on, and you know, what's going on with Natalie, what's going on with Thaisa and stuff. So it's kind of been separate. So, alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts?
No, let's get into the caviar eat. The cav eat.
Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of Caveat. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Caveat, coming in at number 3, desperate man links to past.
Ah, very good.
I wanted to give you that one. I want to give all of you that one before I go into the next two, which are stupid as fuck. All right. Coming in at number 2 for Caveat, sex dungeon movie, not porno. Very disappointed. And coming in at number 1 for Caveat, who's feeding the poor dog?
I know. That's the real question. Yeah. They're not feeding him enough. His mange was bad. He had bad hair situation.
And that dog is being a good boy or girl, or like just being a good dog, just standing there like, hey, what's up? Whenever you get to me, I'm here.
I know there's a lot going on in the house. But...
totally get it. You guys are doing your weird, I'm assuming, sex shit in there. don't worry about it.
Yes. Yeah. John, what are your first thoughts on this?
So I had to like keep going back and rewatching certain parts. This was like another movie. Like, this has been kind of a rough week for me at work. Where I thought I kept missing stuff, but I didn't. I wasn't missing anything. Yeah. And for some reason, that made me like the
angry
movie more.
Oh, no, like the movie. Yeah. I was going somewhere else. Okay, good. Okay.
I thoroughly like this movie.
Okay.
I could totally nitpick about certain things, right? There are certain aspects of it, but it kind of same vein as Wasetta, right? The Bone Woman, where like certain things are important but don't really matter to what the point of the movie is.
Okay.
Because it is a very much a self-realization movie, kind of like a letting go movie.
It's true. It's all true.
I really, really liked it. I don't know. Like, even at the end where, like, a couple of things aren't explained, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. That's not important.
It's open-ended.
Yeah.
Open-ended ending.
Oh, it's super open-ended, right? Like, yeah. What an interesting last shot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm more mixed about it. I did enjoy it. I think it's a strong direction by I'm gonna just say his name, Damien McCarthy. And I like the acting. I liked the lead, Johnny French. Never seen him before. Oh, yeah. I thought he was very expressive. He had a nice like face. Good. I could see why they cast him in the lead and stuff. And I actually liked the house. The house that there was had good production design. Each, you know, it looked very kind of decrepit and old, and the wallpaper had a very like strong feel to it. Like it didn't look like had a lot of character to it. The house,
which there's, I mean, unless we find out where the filming locations are at, there's nothing to suggest that it wasn't a house on that little mini island.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, love the setup too.
You go ahead. I gotta admit, for like half an hour, I had a hard time because I kept forgetting that this woman was not a young lady because she looks very young to me. Mm-hmm. So I kept forgetting she was an adult woman, and I was like, why, it's so weird, why would they do this to her, blah blah blah, and then I would go back to the beginning again to see if I missed something, and I'm like, oh, that's the woman he's talking about, where she looks like a teen, or she dresses like a teen, acts like a teen, but is an adult woman. So I gotta actually give it up to Lila Sykes, because she Penn and Teller fooled me, where I was like, oh yeah, she's a young lady, but no.
Yeah, I think what I didn't necessarily connect to was the storyline was a little tough to follow. I think things happen because of movies. They don't really have like good reasons. So, and I don't think
I tracked it up real quick. Maybe this might change your mind about this.
Okay.
I tracked it up to him having memory loss and it being a brain affliction.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever certain things kind of don't add up or it looks kind of weird or certain things don't make sense, it's just because it's his brain trying to like either fill in the gaps or it just jumps to a certain point.
Right. Yeah. I think that that we could maybe follow that into spoilers. That particular story beat / revelation I was like, no, I don't believe that. But maybe there's a better reason I didn't see in the movie, because it's very kind of methodical, very slow paced, and
yeah.
It kind of slowly builds and has a pretty good has a good strong ending. Though I don't believe like the story elements didn't exactly all like line up for me. That was kind of like the hard thing to really kind of like the movie more than I did. That was the one thing I was missing, because I thought it had a great setup. I love the idea that there's a guy who gets hired and doesn't really know much about the job, and he goes and he wasn't told really what it is, just that he's going to go to some house, sit or watch some girl or something for him because his brother died. So he goes, and I like the little setup where like, oh, it's on an island. You didn't tell me that. Right. And then he has to like literally, which I thought was really cool idea, that he had to like basically tie himself down because the girl staying there was what was wrong with her? She was schizophrenic, or what was her deal. Something was just wrong with her, right?
Well, she was... Yes and no. Like, she was a little...
It says here, psychologically troubled, so...
Yeah, yes, but only because... well, it's a spoiler, because, like, she's only like that because somebody's forcing her to feel...
Right.
Insane.
Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, I gotcha. Well, we can talk about it at spoilers, but...
I think a very important part of the movie that I didn't catch really until I watched it twice, the beginning part, is we start off with a woman with that bunny that, like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to say it's like a sort of like a, what do you call it? Not magic.
Conduit.
Like, yeah, conduit, sure.
To
yeah.
What's going on? Yeah.
And carrying it, and like it's doing the drum tours where it needs to, it's trying to lead you to a certain point. And then this woman like cuts a hole into a wall, a little piece of drywall, and then sees something, right? And then the thing she sees is our main character looking through another hole, and then it cuts to the title sequence. But I think that's all very important to like where things are psychologically and why that's important. And I don't think that was like a cutting to present day. I think that was actually happening.
Okay. That is a minor spoiler, because I don't think in the beginning they showed what she was looking at till later.
No, they totally did. The last part of the sequence of that was our main character looking through the hole of something else, though. And then it cuts to the title sequence, and then it cuts to him, and he's like all like long beard at this point or whatever.
Oh, shit. Well, I have to go back and check it, because I thought that moment came later in the movie.
No, the beginning, the very beginning. Because I was like, okay, what the fuck? Like, I even went back a couple times while I was watching it, because I was doing something else, and I was like, what did I miss? And I kept like doing it. I was like, oh, nothing. It's just like, I have no idea what this means.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that some of that is, some of the issues I think is that it's a first time movie. It feels like a first time director's movie.
Yeah.
And it feels like one. And though there's some good stuff here, I think that was the thing that I'll take away from it, even though I didn't like necessarily connected with the story, though I liked the setup of the movie and, you know, some of the acting I thought was really nice, and some of the actors were good, had good presence. And I thought like the story just kind of lost me at places. So that was probably my two biggest gripes.
As far as the acting, I thought the only weak actor was the uncle, unfortunately. But
I thought he had a good look and a good like voice. But yeah, you're right. He was
weak compared to the other actors. and real quick, just as a little side note, I'm looking at Caveat's IMDb just randomly. I'd never keep it open for these things because I have all my information in my head.
Well, but, of course, you take notes. Diligent notes.
But the more like this section, where it's like you might also like, we have Anything for Jackson, The Dark and the Wicked, Deadstream, Terrified.
Those are all things we
also censor. The Power, and The Boys from County Hell. And this movie looks really fucking interesting. It looks really good, actually. It's a movie called Come True. Fucking watch it, because it's fucking amazing. Which I need to retroactively talk about something very quickly, because I was talking to a friend about, he's like, have you seen Saint Maud? I'm like, yes, I have. And I feel like I was way too harsh on it. it's a better movie than I was giving it less credit for some reason. Anyway, back to Caveat.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. He was a fan? Your friend was a fan? Or whoever you spoke with?
Or you said, like, that was a pretty good one, right? And I was like, wow, I gotta admit, like, I think I shat all over it because of reasons, but the more I think about it, the more I think, like, it's a really good movie. The same thing with Come True, which is the most perfect movie on earth that I haven't seen in over a year now, so I'm a bad fan.
Yeah. So yeah, I was a little mixed and you liked it. So I'm actually curious for you to talk about this movie in spoilers.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to go to spoilers?
Yeah, well,
I feel like there's a lot to talk about.
There was no caveat is what? Like a bunch of little fish eggs, right? They look like little balls. You put them on top of crackers.
Caviar. I think that's... It's an app.
No, I have not seen the sequel to Caveat yet.
I think it's Fish Called Caviar.
Fish Called... well, I'll let you start with this. Not because I'm going to go run and grab an absurdly strong beer because now I'm addicted. Tell me your thoughts.
Okay, well, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers.
You're right. So one of the things that... One of the things that happens...
Sorry. I need to explain what that noise was, right? So I was telling Rolando that I bought a beer... Or like a four-pack from a new brewery that popped up here called Arrow Lodge, I think. And I was excited to try it out, and I really enjoyed it. But it was like two beers. I was about to grab my third one, cracking off the four little plastic holder things, right? The things that are like cover the entire can. You have to pop them off this like plastic four-pack holder before I noticed that they all had mold on them, so... So now I'm paranoid every time I look at one.
No, everybody blows on their beer. So the thing that we're in spoilers. The thing that happens is that the main guy has partial memory loss. So he's already been to this house before and killed his brother. Killed the brother, his brother, for money. Is that right?
No, it was supposed to be the uncle's, the dude that hired him.
Right.
The uncle.
Right.
His brother needed to die because he was trying to have like more and more psychotic episodes and was about to divulge a bunch of horrible shit that the brother had done.
Oh.
So he hired this guy, the guy,
our
main character, to make sure that he got locked into the basement, which you find out early on that I'm just going to call him the uncle. That's the character's name, the uncle.
Okay.
I forgot his name, right? The guy that hired the guy. The uncle, his brother was claustrophobic, so he said, like, if you just lock him in there, he'll eventually go crazy and probably kill himself. Like, it's not going to be a big deal, and he's already killed... his wife, which I think was also the uncle, killed that woman too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But our main character has a change of heart. You find out halfway through it because he's already starting to lose it. Because he's seeing, like, he finds that woman at the very, very beginning of the cold open is now on the other side of this thing where she was looking through this peephole that she made. For lack of a better term for whatever that hole was. And she's dead there and she has a key around her neck. No, I fucked that up. Sorry. This is why I rewatched the beginning. So that woman at the very beginning was the daughter. And I mistook her for being the mom.
Okay. Yeah. The mom is dead, right?
Yes. The mom died. Is dead. Cause she's wearing the same clothes. So I confused her for being the woman that was dead on the other side of the wall, but no, it was the daughter that saw her mom already with the key around her neck and just is not saying anything.
Right.
So our main character goes and sees that dead woman on the other side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on starts to have like weird visions and like flashbacks. And then after this whole conversation with we're gonna skip over a whole lot because a lot kind of happens in this movie, it's kind of slow, but for example, there is, instead of a speaker box, not a speaker box, how do I explain this to people that are born before intercom? 2000. An intercom.
Intercom. It's an intercom.
Does that make sense to people before 2000?
I understood it. I don't. I'm before 2000.
To talk to people in other rooms.
Yeah.
But there's nothing there. There's like a hole that was made on the inside of the wall. So I'm assuming that the mom was like crawling around the inside of the house for a while, trying to talk to her daughter, trying to figure out how to like get away from the uncle. Couldn't do it. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Like, that's not fully explained for as far as I understand.
Right. Okay.
But through all this, and also the daughter, who's an adult woman, after shooting and trying to potentially kill our main character.
Because she saw him. She recognized him for when he was here earlier.
And he
also she's kind of blaming him that she's kind of blaming him that he killed her dad. Is that right?
Dad.
Dad.
Also because he left his jacket behind.
But his brother's jacket. Was there too? That's like
that's where it gets confusing. Yeah. I'm not sure what happened. Because he wasn't there for the whole exchange of like, hey, I'm hiring you to do this. It was just him.
Right.
So I think this whole movie is actually about this man's trauma and trying to come to terms with losing his brother, who I'm guessing he was very, very, very close to.
Right.
Right. And that's why there's this whole parallel between like looking through something and seeing somebody that is looking for something too, and like only seeing dead people.
Right.
I don't know. I think there's something there, but it's like that's where it gets very convoluted for me also. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I appreciate where it's going. I really like it. It's like almost there for me. It's almost like, oh fuck, that's cool. But I have no idea what's going on.
I think you do have to do a lot of like, what is it? Like mental gymnastics to kind of make sense of it. It's kind of there, but a lot of it is like, he didn't really like connect all the little ideas he has to make sense. And I think a lot of it is hindered on the idea that like, the whole memory loss thing is a way to explain away certain things.
Yeah.
Because he wanted him to be somebody who's been there before but doesn't remember. You know, and how do you... But it's because he needs to face his... Like you said, like his trauma. I think that's a really good reading on it. That he's... His trauma of losing somebody close to him that he cares for.
Like, because that's what I caught. Like his brother... He blames himself for his brother's death.
Right.
Because what I gathered, right? And then this whole thing where you realize that the uncle was a person that was orchestrating this whole thing with this whole separate thing is him coming to terms with like, it's not my fault. Like it's, I got to let go and it's fine. Because I didn't understand why there's a part at the end where he's trying to cut the hole out as quickly as possible to make the hole bigger so he can just like break out of the basement. Because he's now stuck in the walls, right? God, right. Did we even talk about that he's in a fucking harness chained to the basement?
I briefly mentioned it, and we should.
Okay,
That was one of the things I really liked, because he has to wear this harness. The idea being that the uncle tells him because the mother. The mother was a sleepwalker or something, right? And so she had to wear this harness so she could only go so far into the house. Sort of, they describe it as a leash or like a uniform for the job. And it looks like a, how would you describe it? Like a.
It looks very like medieval, medieval a chastity belt for your chest.
Chastity belt for the chest, psychic ward, but you know, type of like thing they put on people to restrains. But done with metal, leather chains.
The chain link is like huge and goes straight to the basement.
Honestly, I thought it was so cool. I actually thought that was really cool. It's a really cool idea for a movie. Like our protagonist is alone on an island and he has to tie himself down. And, you know, he says that they also briefly mentioned that there's also foxes or something that sound like teenage. Have you ever heard a fox cry before? It sounds like a teenage girl like wailing. Have you ever heard a teenage girl wail before? He's like, no. And so it's like really nice setup throughout this movie. Yeah, I just think that like how he wanted to like the execution, I think, is a little clumsy, a little clunky. And he, I think he does the thing where it's like he explains it away as like, oh, it's spooky, it's ghost stuff, it's whatever, you know, or memory loss. So
yeah,
I think his point kind of got muddled a bit. So
but I did again, like, so our main guy is able to get out of the chains. He finally like cuts a hole long enough, and like that every time we go back to the dead mother in any situation, it is very fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of scary, like legitimately scary. And he finally grabs the key and he like lets himself free. But I think because the whole point of this thing that's going on for him personally is he's trying to find closure. He doesn't fucking leave. Like, he has every opportunity, even though they set it up like, well, I can't swim. Doesn't mean he can't like run out to the outskirts of the island.
Right. Yeah.
He like never leaves the house. In fact, he goes deeper into the house. Like, he goes deeper into his own psyche. Right. Like, he's in the walls and he's like climbing around. Mm-hmm. Even after getting shot by a crossbow by the daughter. That's where I jumped to that point at the end where he's trying to like cut a bigger hole. And then he hears that the uncle shows up because it looks like the daughter's about to poke the crossbow into the wall and shoot him. Mm-hmm. But then the uncle kind of peeks through and sees him and is like trying to be quiet about it and talks to the daughter a little bit about whatever, his niece, I guess. And then he shoots him in the leg with the crossbow and then walks away. And then it kind of is like a weird moment where our hero finds his way out.
Yeah.
And you never see that sequence. He just finds his way out, which initially I thought that was only a reason to make it creepier that the sawzall that was going through the wall kept moving and you thought it was him, but he's already left. So now you know it's like probably the ghost of the mother. It's somebody else like cutting a hole in the wall, right? And this uncle is still trying to like kill everybody there because I don't know what the fuck he's got going on in his life, but it's that bad, I guess.
So the rabbit was the dad, right?
Is that my guess? I'm assuming.
And because the mother, because they had mentioned that the mother had also was like had meant like some kind of psychological issue as well, right? And the dad would help her. Would help her out, and like they do have like a quick cut of like her restraining her, and she's already been kind of like something happened to her, right? She's like possessed or whatever, some kind of thing going on. So when they pass, they're still in the house. The rabbit or rabbit toy is the dad kind of like helping the daughter find the body for with his mother and stuff like that, who comes back alive, cuts a hole out, comes back alive and kills the uncle, which I thought was a nice moment.
Again, it's like, God, that was fucking creepy. But then I had a thought. I had a fucking extreme thought. What if the daughter, right, the niece, who is an adult woman and knows the ins and outs of this fucking building, right? This house, and knows that her mom is in that area. Knew that the other guy had left already and ran into the walls anyway, even though, because there's like a moment where like she walks out and she looks around and she's like, oh, I know this guy is out already. And then it cuts to like him talking on the intercom, right? And then she kind of disappears. And then I'm assuming that she walked through the walls again, cut the rest of the hole out, and then purposely did that with her mom's body, is my guess. Mm-hmm. But it could also be a supernatural thing. But in my head, I'm like, what if she did that intentionally? Because she, like, wants the worst for her uncle.
Right, yeah.
Because she now she knows the truth.
Yeah.
But she was wearing the harness, so I don't know. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, it's
she decided to put on the harness, which I was questioning, like, why would you do that? But I think
I didn't see the harness, but I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
Oh, she put it back on. She put it on. And I'm assuming so
clearly it was a lie. Like, it was a lie because like something was wrong with the mother. I'm assuming whatever the uncle said was the reason he wore it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I think like the dad probably had more of an issue mentally with what was going on. I'm assuming whatever they were dealing with together, he was having a harder time accepting that they were being bad people.
Right.
Is what was going on. And then even the daughter at that point felt like chained to this house. So that was supposed to be the parable like there too between all the family members.
She didn't want to leave. Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked this movie. It was like really good. I thought.
I think I got to watch it again. I got to really sit down and watch it again. Catch my attention the way it did to you, so it might be something I need to watch again.
Oh well, I mean, okay. Before you watch it again, here's a little bit of a caveat. It's a thinker, so
don't watch it again.
Don't watch it.
Got it.
Here's a little bit of a caveat. It's not Come True, and you should just watch Come True again.
Is it still on Hulu?
I don't know.
I'll check it out.
I don't know. I need to buy the Criterion Collection version of it on DVD.
Yeah.
Then you're going to tell me it's not a Criterion Collection. I'm going to tell Criterion Collection they're fools. So.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of horror movies in Criterion. So. Alrighty. Do you have any last thoughts?
No, just like I thought I was hating the movie halfway through. And then I think I really enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah. Okay. I just, like I said, I liked it. It's a good debut film. I think that it's just narratively, and I didn't really connect with it. I think narratively is a little jumbled. But it's a very good tone, like style movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a nice moments in it. Alrighty. John,
oh no, real quick, sure. What are your thoughts on that last shot of the movie
where
he's like he's releasing the dog, right? Which I'm assuming it is his sort of acceptance of what happened, and it's not his fault, and it's okay to be like just be free.
Well, right? I thought he was taking the dog, and I thought he was like, I just saw a bunch of fucking crazy shit in this house. This is the only normal thing about it. I'm taking the dog with me. You know, because they do have a brief moment where they like, he fed it or something. He threw it some food or something. And she, the daughter who has a reason to kill him, is looking at him and she has the crossbow in the hand. So it ends there. You know, does she kill him? Does she not? I don't know. Kind of like,
I like
very
that
ambiguous.
Moment, but I think the whole idea is like they don't say anything and he just walks away with the dog. I think the whole the dog being chained there, I think, was supposed to be sort of a representation of
him
being stuck somewhere and just obediently following what people are telling him because he feels wronged, and he feels like, I think that's why the dog was never barking. The dog was obedient because he felt the same way, like he deserved that. But then he's taking the dog away because he's like, no, I'm free now. I don't deserve this anymore. And I think that was the woman coming out with the crossbow. It doesn't show you what happens next, but I think it's because it's him finally hitting that moment of like, no, I'm okay. I'm free. Or I'm not. I don't know.
Right.
Again, he can't swim. So how's he going to get out of there?
Well, I'm assuming the uncle came right about. That's my guess.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But I don't know. He didn't look very comfortable in a boat when he got there. So no. I don't know how far he's gonna get.
It would have been better if the uncle was like just like drenched, just like full of water all over himself, and it's like, what happened? Like, well, I swam across, didn't I?
It's like, please don't judge me based on my family. Yeah. So I'm actually a very nice guy. yeah. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Caveat 6.7 sexy spooky bones.
Okay. I'll do 5 because I think there's something here. I honestly don't feel like I like got it. I didn't connect with it enough. So it's kind of mixed. Yeah, I'm mixed in the middle, right in the middle.
It's a pretty confusing film, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. I don't know. Again, that's why talking about when I was talking to my friend about this movie, and I was like, have you seen Caveat? And he's like, no, what's it on? And then we're talking about it, and he was like, oh, have you seen Saint Maud? And then that was the moment I was like, wow, I was really hard on that movie, wasn't I? It was like a pretty good fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good movie. Definitely a good movie. But what does Ozzy Osbourne think?
I think it's all fucking weird and it's fucking spooky shit.
Sharrat!
Sharrat! There's a fucking dog is changing. Fucking weird.
All right, guys, gals, I'm Barter Pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.
Sharrat!